This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The unemployment rate fell to 4.6%, the lowest rate since before the financial crisis began in August 2007. Barack Obama is handing off a fully employed top-line economy to Donald Trump. It is not, however, as well paid of an economy for blue-collar workers who voted to elect Trump. The unemployment number is also embellished by a smaller workforce as labor force participation fell by 387,000 again. This should be plenty good, though, for the Fed to follow through on its interest rate hike next week. The fly in the ointment next week could be the Italian plebiscite on parliamentary rules. Italy needs reforms. Their prime minister, Matteo Renzi, who could be described as a cross between an Obama smartest guy in the room rock star, with Trump's high-energy, get-her-done type enthusiasm. He says that the changes are necessary to get the fiscal reforms Italy needs enacted by their parliament, and he will resign if the vote fails. The markets think that it will pass, but they thought that Hillary would win up until 8 p.m. election night here. The European Union is likely in the balance, as if they vote no, that would be an indirect vote for leaving the EU. If Italy leaves, the dominoes will fall. Even if Italy stays, there is great risk that France will exit, ending the European Union. The world is evolving into a me-first, we-are-going-our-own-way deglobalization mode. Donald stated in Cincinnati on his election thank-you tour that we were no longer global citizens, but America will be made great again as we are citizens of the USA, to rousing cheers. The European Central Bank will be on a high state of watch as the Italian vote comes in. The result could impact the dollar next week. A surprise no vote in Italy could send the dollar soaring. The Bank of Japan has some decisions to make as well. Their 10-year note yield is still at 0%, and U.S. interest rates have taken a huge jump that should generate a strong outflow of capital that they will have to respond to. The divergence between interest rates of major economies will impact capital flows. Countries are already preparing for Trump's capital repatriation tax holiday. They estimate that there is $2.5 trillion parked offshore by Apple and other multinational companies who have left profits overseas to avoid paying higher comparative U.S. tax rates. First, Trump is going to lower the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15% if he has his way. They're talking about a special 10% tax rate for capital sitting offshore to be brought back into the country. First of all, this assumes that these companies want to bring this capital back into the U.S., but Trump sure wants them to, as a huge economic stimulus to the U.S. economy. It fits his America First program as money repatriated benefits the U.S. economy, but it is a subtraction of capital now parked elsewhere in the world. You're listening to the Comstock Report. Some foreign countries see a potential repatriation of capital to the United States as an economic threat. China is concerned enough that it has reduced the cap on what companies were allowed to move in and out of China with little documentation from $50 million to $5 million. They're getting ready. They have also been getting ready for a confrontation with the United States, but beginning to reduce their U.S. Treasury investment. That started 12 to 15 months ago. On the grains, some soaking rains are taking the edge off the drought in the southeast United States, or at least helping them put out some fires. Iowa State University climatologist Elwin Taylor confirmed the droughts do move into the Corn Belt from the southeast. He said that the next thing to watch was whether the Bermuda High sets up normally in March. The failure of the Bermuda High to do so in 1988 was part of what caused that drought in the eastern Corn Belt. Taylor targets 2025 as the next bullseye for the next big drought derived from weather cycles in the Corn Belt. 2023 to 24 might be a good time to retire from farming. The current La Nina is not a La Nina by SOI standards. The 30-day SOI is a negative 0.66, the 90-day is a positive 2.72, and the daily contributor was a negative 7.32. Frankly, that is about as neutral as you can get. A positive 8 SOI is needed for La Nina. They are getting crops off to a great start in South America. Brazil should be wrapping up planting, and Argentina should be over the hump soon, too. By getting the soybeans in much earlier this year in the Mato Grosso, that should set up a second corn crop for better double crop conditions. February is the critical crop month in South America, and I do note that the January cycle low due in corn precedes that, so the weather there could change early next year. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa, online at Comstock.com, or call 712-933-9400.